I'm sure there was preaching, right? So, yeah. Now that is a quiz, I mean. No, but seriously, I haven't got a chance to hear any of this, any of the preaching while I was sent from, while the time that we were gone last week. And so, somebody tell me what was preached Sunday morning, Brother Burns from Decatur.
Bible class, we heard the lesson.
Yeah.
Psalm 90.
Psalm 90. Okay. So you just talk about Psalm 90 in Sunday school? Okay. Good. There's a lot of good psalms, and what do you remember? Like just the basic idea behind the message Sunday morning. Oh, go ahead.
We numbered our days pretty much.
Oh,
however, right. You were alive.
Okay.
How many days? We calculated by 365 about how long you've been alive, and that's how many days you've been. And then you said, well, what about how many days you have left? You know that we should want to spend the rest of the.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
How little they are. But how we should want to more, just like you said, if you go on a cruise and they said you win a cruise, but you'll get to go tomorrow. But the thing is, you have a cruise, but you have to be there by tomorrow. What would you do to get to, of course you're going to be busy. It's just
right.
Now, so what would you do
mm-hmm.
in order to get to that cruise? And now I say, well, now we should be doing that with the rest of our life, with how much days we have left with our life.
Okay. Amen. Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, I understand what he's saying. I wouldn't put off anything for a cruise. Amen. But I understand the concept. Yeah, surely. I understand that. That's a very good point. Teach us to number our days. Amen. Sunday morning message. Anybody remember anything? I mean, you don't have to give me every detail, but I'm just curious. I mean, what did he? Well, you don't have to. It's all right. Don't get Matthew. I mean, I'm just trying to see if you.
Joshua preached on Amway product.
Yeah. So Sunday night, Brother Josh. I know Brother Joshua preached on. Somebody was already trying to be tell me about the cell phone and things like that. Is that what he preached on?
Yeah, he's good.
About being charged and not losing the signal and things like that. Okay. Amen. Yeah, and then Brother DeShazo, how did Brother DeShazo do? He's right there, so y'all can go ahead and tell me the truth. Amen.
Right.
Miss Claudia?
Thy way? Is thy way the way?
Hey, okay, good. Good, amen. God's way is the highway, isn't it? Amen. Sure is. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to hear that. I just like to hear. I don't know if those things got recorded or not, Brother Evan. Did those get recorded? Okay, I'll listen to those later on. But just wanted to kind of know where we're coming from. I guess we've been preaching here in Hebrews 13 about a better church, and obviously remembering things that are preached and taught. And I'm really thrilled that you folks remember those things. That's a blessing to me. You know, I some folks just don't. They don't remember anything that's said at church, but it's a blessing that y'all remembered those things, and even the scriptures. I mean, that's tremendous. That's tremendous, and that's what we need to do as a church. We've got to always be looking for God to help us be better. And the Word of God is the source of it all. It really is God's Word, and I'm glad to know that the Word of God, of course, is in our hearts. And let me just let me invite you to stand one more time here as we read in Hebrews 13 and. Beginning in verse 10, Hebrews 13, verse 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, verse 15, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Verse 15 will be our text tonight on the thinking about a better church. We should also remember to be a better church. There's got to be a continual spirit of praise. Continual praise. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord. I thank you for this church and for these people and, Lord, for the privilege it is. Lord, I know that not all countries have this privilege of gathering and assembling themselves and preaching, openly singing and witnessing, testifying. And, Lord God, thank you for the privilege it is to be an American in a free country. Father, I pray you keep working now in our hearts through this time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I mean, you may be seated. Continual praise is the thought here tonight. The Bible says in verse 15, by him, and that's obviously by Christ, because of Christ, through Christ, we can now offer God, look what it says, continual praise, the sacrifice of praise to God. What's that word? Continually. It's an amazing thought, but this is also just another way that God is reminding us, hey, we have eternal security, dearly beloved. We have eternal security in our salvation. Otherwise, how could we have continual praise, amen? You can't have continual praise if you were like that man last night that my wife and I were talking to. From the Church of Christ, who doesn't know if he's saved or not. He doesn't have any praise in his heart, have any praise in his lips, because he has no idea if he's even saved, amen? And he's probably not. But the thing is, once we're saved the Bible way, by grace, through faith, amen, not of works, once we're saved the Bible way, we can have and we should have continual praise. Notice it says, amen, the fruit of our lips, on our lips. The last couple series of messages that I taught, preached before I left, and we talked about consecration. Remember, coming out of the common, coming unto Christ, and then carrying our cross daily. And then I preached a little bit about doing the will of God, which is carrying your cross. Your cross is the will of God for your life. And it's like here in verse 15, God kind of puts a cherry on top. Okay? And we come out, we come unto Christ, we carry our cross with continual praise. With continual praise. We're talking about having a better church. Let me give you something here that I think that makes perfect sense as we look at these things. And I know you can't remember, but we've talked about 9 different things from Hebrews chapter 13. We talked about Christian love. We talked about comforting strangers. And by the way, folks, as missionaries come in here next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're going to have missionaries. We're going to be the hosts, okay? They're our guests, and we're hosting them. So let's remember the things that we're preaching here, okay? Christian love, comforting strangers, being a good host, being a hospitable, okay? Amen. Somebody may sit in your seat. Okay? So let's just be loving and compassionate, amen. And but seriously, as we have guests, let's remember those things. That's what we're talking about here. But we've talked about Christian love, comforting strangers, compassion. Remember, God, verse 3, the Bible says, remember them, amen. God remembered us. God remembered us. Compassion, clean and pure living. We talked about contentment. Being content with such things as you have. Confidence, coming boldly. The Bible says there in verse 6, we may boldly say. We talked about commitment verse number 7. Commitment to God, but it's commitment through your church and the man of God that God puts in your life as your shepherd. It's consistency in verse 8 and 9. And then the verses we just read, consecration. Now, let me put it to you this way. Those 9 things are requirements for a better church. Okay? Now, after those 9 things, now what we're going to look at for the next, well, tonight and then the next couple weeks, is the results. Requirements for a better church, but now we're going to look at the results of living a life that measures up to those requirements. Now, granted, I know we're never going to measure up to those requirements as far as that goes without fail, but understand something, with each passing day, we can grow in our living and loving and pleasing and honoring God. Requirements of a better church will produce results. Right? When we do what God says, when we obey the Word of God, when we become compassionate, when we clean up our lives in the areas that are lacking, when we become more content, when we have confidence in praying and speaking to God, and more commitment, more consistent in our spirits, consecrated to God, when we do those things, listen to me, one of the results will be continual praise.
Amen.
One of the results will be, and I think probably for a very good reason, it's the first one that the Lord lists, results. The first one He talks about here is a heart that's full of praise. This praise should be an outflowing of a life that lines up with those other things we just talked about. Amen. Now hold your place here and look over in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. John chapter 7 verse 37. In the last day... That's it, John 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Verse 38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." See, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, being saved and truly born again, the Bible says there will be natural outflow from within you. Look what it says there. "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." It just simply means what Jesus is trying to teach us there is that when we do things God's way, for salvation to begin with, when we do things God's way, there's going to be results that just come out naturally as a result of God being in us, amen? His divine nature now being a part of our lives. It's a matter of really of cause and effect. You understand what I mean by cause and effect? Everything we do on the outside, church, everything we do on the outside is done for a cause. We have a reason that we're doing that. And there's an effect of something, it's an effect of something else going on inside us. Let me say that for you again. Everything we do on the outside is for a cause, for a reason. And it comes from something else going on inside. Yeah. It's an effect of something that's going on inside.
Right. Yeah.
Everything that you do is for a reason and it comes from within. That's the way we are. And look in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. "A good man... out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." That's what we're trying to get at tonight. Is when we do things that we're supposed to do, when we're saved and born again, and we begin to live a life like God wants us to live, comforting strangers, having Christian love, being compassionate, living clean, content, confident, committed, consistent, consecrated lives, there will be a natural change in our outward appearance, our outward behavior. Our spirit will be reflected. The Bible says our countenance, amen, is a witness of what's going on inside us.
Amen.
Now, we have a lot to be thankful for as Christians. Amen. Look with me in Psalm 103 real quick. Psalm 103. I'm just trying to just lay some groundwork here. I don't have a long message. We're going to have some time to pray tonight. I know the choir needs to practice, but look in Psalm 103 with me here in verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is where? Within me, bless His holy name." You know, folks, listen to me. When we try to bless the Lord outwardly and nothing within us is blessing the Lord, that's not blessing Him.
Right.
That doesn't honor Him. It doesn't glorify Him when it's only external. Okay? You see, what's inside is going to come out sooner or later. But we are human and by nature sinful and very, very manipulative and subtle. We can do things on the outside that don't really line up with what's going on inside.
Right.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But you see, if we're really going to bless the Lord, it's going to have to be within me. Look in verse 2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." I mean, how can we possibly forget what He's done? We do, though, don't we?
Yeah.
Look in verse 3. And then God begins to list some of those benefits because we need a reminder. "Who forgiveth," what's that next word?
All
thine iniquities.
Yeah.
who healeth, what's that next word? All thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. That's all we had before Jesus. Who, listen, it says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. In other words, it's not your loving kindness and tender, it's his. He gives them to you, amen. It's his loving kindness, his tender mercies that he's given to you and me. Verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things.
Amen.
Amen. That literally means we get to eat good food.
Amen.
I mean, God wants us to understand everything we have is worthy of praise and honor and glory, and we should bless the Lord, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Amen.
That's right.
The Bible says in verse 5 that youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, I don't know when that's going to happen, amen, when I get to heaven, I suppose. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 40, we wait on the Lord, amen. Our strength is renewed. Our youth is renewed. We fly like eagles, amen. God can strengthen your physical body, obviously. And the Bible says in verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Has anybody ever felt oppressed? Amen. Don't raise your hand. I don't know if you feel oppressed. That's not the question. Has anybody literally been oppressed? Then the Bible says, don't worry about it. God will execute righteousness and judgment. God will make sure that what needs to be done is done.
Amen.
I mean, God is reminding us of all of his benefits here. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. Verse 8. By the way, he wants to make known his ways.
Right.
Brother Evan and I were out at the campus for a little while this afternoon, and I talk to people all the time that they don't know if they believe God, they don't know if they believe the Bible, they don't know if it's true or not. And I said, look, God has made known his ways to you right here in the Word of God. Everywhere you look, is the hand of God, and he's never trying to hide himself from mankind. It's always an excuse, amen. The Bible says in verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. Look, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Aren't you glad that's not reversed? Amen.
Amen.
Plenteous in anger and slow to mercy. It could be, and that's a lot of people that I know. Amen. Sometimes that describes too much of us, doesn't it? But thank God, amen, he's got it in the right order. Verse 9, he will not always chide. Amen. Sometimes he chides. That means he's chastened. Sometimes he gets down on you. Sometimes he comes hard down on you as a father, a loving father, but he doesn't always chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever. Amen. In other words, when you get right, when we get right, amen, then everything's right. He hath, look what verse 10 says. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Did you see that? Y'all look at that. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Even when he chastens you, he's really not giving you what you deserve.
Yeah. Come on.
Even when he really rebukes us and reproves us and really beats us down because he knows we're full of pride, he's still not giving us what we deserve. Now, think about that. That's our God, amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The Bible says, forget not. Look what it says here. He hath nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth. How high is it? Well, you could keep going forever, amen. I don't know how long. I mean, we can't reach the end of the heavens. Where the third heaven is where the Lord lives, and we don't know where, nobody knows how far that is. But as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west. Now, y'all don't get bored because I'm talking about the goodness of God, okay? Don't drift off into la-la land because I'm talking about the goodness of God. The Bible says that as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That, in other words, they're never coming back, amen? They're never coming back. The Bible says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Aren't you glad he doesn't expect more of us than what we could possibly do? Amen. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. The Bible tells us, amen, God knows exactly where we're at. He knows our life is short. We have a lot to be praised and more, a lot to praise God for. Amen. I just want you to remember that we have salvation, the scriptures, the Holy Spirit, the security of eternal life. We have the grace of God to strengthen us, the faith of Christ that sharpen us, and the mercy of God that sees us through. We have the compassion of Christ that carries us, the long-suffering of God that cares for us, the everlasting arms that catch us when we fall. We have teaching that fills our hearts. We have preaching that fires us up. We have prayer that focuses our thoughts on our friend that loveth at all times.
Amen.
We have a lot to be thankful for. Quickly, go back to Hebrews 13 now. Continual praise. Look at a few elements here found in this one verse, and then we'll go and have our time of prayer. Verse 15 says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." The number one element involved in this thing, and this is not going to be drop dead profound, is salvation. Notice the first two words. It's by him.
Amen.
By Christ.
Yeah.
The only way to have continual praise is through Jesus.
That's right.
Through Christ. That, again, I go back to that man I talked to last night, and he's dying of cancer, but he has no idea. He kept telling me that he had to get his house in order. I mean, I had scripture after scripture after scripture, and all he kept going back to was an Old Testament scripture about Hezekiah, who was told he was going to die. He had to get his house in order. That had nothing to do with salvation.
That's right. It
has nothing to do with his eternal soul. But he kept going back to that and back to that. Why? Because that rot gut false doctrine church has been teaching him that his entire life. And so he had no reason to even crack a smile. Understand something, because it's only by Jesus Christ that we can do anything, especially praise God. Praise God that literally from our hearts. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, the gift of God is eternal life. But it's only through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's only through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hold your place here. Go back to Psalms now. We'll flip back and forth a little bit here. Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 1. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Now listen, in a horrible pit, you don't have anything to praise God for. In a horrible pit, you don't have anything to praise anybody for.
Right.
Understand, that's where a person is without Jesus.
Right.
He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Have you ever stepped in miry clay? Have you ever slipped and slid around and stood around in real slippery mud? I mean, that clay, as you go over the East Coast and towards that, everything is red dirt, amen? And when that dirt gets wet and it's slippery, then, well, you know, that stuff, yeah, that slippery stuff that I don't want to mention from the pulpit, amen? The stuff that comes out of those bus kids' nose in the morning, okay? That slippery stuff. But you can't stand up. You can't adjust yourself. You can't get straight. You can't ever get comfortable. All you do is keep slipping and sliding, falling down. You're not praising anybody. You're not praising. You're not thankful. You're in a horrible pit. You're down in miry clay. That's where a lost person is, folks.
Right.
The Bible says only God can bring us up out of that horrible pit. Only God can bring us up out of that miry clay. Only God can set our feet upon a rock.
Yes.
And do you remember the day you got from the mud to the rock, amen? Do you remember the day you came up out of the horrible pit and got your feet finally where you could stand up, amen, and see life for the first time ever? He said, only God can do that. And then he established my goings. He gave me a purpose and a point and a reason to live.
Yes.
You have to see, it's only by Jesus Christ. He hath put a new song in my mouth. Even there it is, even praise.
Amen.
It's only by Jesus Christ, folks. We have to be saved. The Bible says, amen, it's only by him. Go back to Hebrews 13 now quickly. So the first element of praise is a salvation. And we have a lot of people, I'm telling you, a lot of people in our churches, a lot of people calling themselves Christians, amen, who want to say they're praising the Lord, but you can't praise the Lord without Jesus Christ.
Right.
There's no way. There's no way.
That's right.
It's not praise. Again, it has to be within us.
Right.
Salvation, number two, I want you to see in verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer, look, sacrifice. The sacrifice. Isn't that an interesting word? The sacrifice of praise. The phrase there is interesting to me. Sometimes this praise, listen, is not what we naturally want to do.
Right.
It's a sacrifice. It's an offering.
Right.
Sometimes we could find better things to do with our time, and when it comes to us deciding, not that it would be better, but we think it would be better. It's just like putting money in that plate as an offering plate. You know, you could always find something else to do with that money.
Right.
But that's an offering to God.
Right.
You're giving something to God. It may not be something that you would necessarily would have given him because you wanted to. But remember, we're talking about an outpouring of something that God's done in our hearts.
Amen.
And so praise comes as a sacrifice many times because it's not something that we want to do. It's not something that comes naturally at that particular time in our lives. We don't always have to look for a way out. We sometimes just need to look for the right words to praise the Lord.
Amen.
In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In Christ Jesus. Look in Psalm 34 with me quickly. Well, I told you we'll go back and forth. Psalm 34. Psalm 34 tonight, beginning in verse 1. Some blessed, blessed psalms. All the psalms I could use, but I just picked a few that speak to me and stand out to me. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord, look, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Wow. Folks, listen. That's simply a decision.
Right. Yes, sir. Nope.
David was not always in a place of rejoicing in his life. This was a decision that he made. When the Bible says, I will, that means this is what I will follow Jesus. I have decided. We sang that song. It simply means I have decided to bless the Lord at all times. His praise, I have decided, will be continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. There's nothing necessarily worthy of rejoicing going on in David's life. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. This kind of praise is contagious. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Listen to me. Look, don't miss again. I don't want to go too fast. Verse 4 says, he delivered me from all my problems. Nope. He delivered me from all of my struggles. He delivered me from all of my trials. Negative, negative, negative. He delivered me from all of my fears.
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes, listen, it's a sacrifice to praise the Lord because it doesn't change the situation. It's a sacrifice to praise the Lord, but it's God's way many times of delivering us from our fears because fear will make you run the other way.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
This poor man cried in verse 6, amen. The Lord heard him. Praise God.
Amen.
Saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. There's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. See, many times when you just praise the Lord out of a sacrifice, a heart that decides, this is what God wants for me. This is what honors God. I'm just going to praise the Lord anyway. The Bible says, listen to me, the Bible says here that you taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? It's you seeking the Lord in the middle of the storm, and you seeking the Lord in the middle of the trial. You seeking the Lord because you know this is what God wants from me. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to give him a sacrifice of praise. And the Bible says that you're seeking him, and you shall not want any good thing. In other words, that will make you content. That will make you more committed. That will make you more consecrated.
Amen. Right.
Now listen, look over and jump over in verse 17 of the same chapter. The righteous cry.
Right.
and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. It doesn't mean that you don't ever have any troubles. And it doesn't mean he does it right then and there. Read on there in verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them. Now don't miss this. One of my favorite verses the Lord used in my heart years ago. The Lord is nigh. What does that word mean? Close. Right there. I mean right there. Unto them that are of a broken heart.
Amen.
He's just waiting to hear you praise him.
Amen. Yeah.
A broken heart is not anything to be ashamed of.
That's right. Amen.
Or to fear.
Right. Yep.
A broken heart, this verse has always convicts me. A broken heart is something we should pray for. You say, preacher, come on, that's a little bit too far. Why is that too far? A broken heart will be humble.
Right.
A broken heart will have a burden for souls.
Amen.
A broken heart will know, hey, I need the Lord.
Amen.
A broken heart will again will not be puffed up.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
A broken heart is something that we run from, though.
Yeah, come on.
We fear.
Come on.
But get this verse in your heart tonight if you haven't already. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. So what does that mean? That means sometimes I think he breaks our heart on purpose because he wants to prove how nigh he really is. But if we don't respond properly,
right.
We'll miss him.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
We'll miss him.
Yep.
We'll miss him.
Yep.
The Lord is nigh. That's a promise. But if we don't respond properly, we won't know he's there.
Right. Yeah.
He saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Now salvation, listen to me. That's a good verse for salvation. I'm going to use this. If you ever want to use an Old Testament verse for salvation, that's the whole gospel right there. The Lord is nigh them with a broken heart, okay? The Lord is just waiting for that person to have a broken heart over their own soul, their own condition, their lost condition, hell-bound, condemned, doomed, without God, without Christ, without hope. And until that breaks their heart, they're never going to know how nigh he is. But then it says right after that, and he saveth them that are of a contrite spirit. What does that? What does contrite mean? Contrite means repentant, penitent. So you have a broken heart, the Lord's nigh. But then salvation comes when you repent with a contrite spirit and by faith trust the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, that doesn't stop after just when you get saved. When you have a contrite spirit, it's because you know God is doing something in your life and he's seeking to be, he's nigh to you, but he's not going to save you until you let that break your heart and turn to, in humble repentance to God and say, Lord, here am I. You do whatever you want with me. I'm yours, Lord. My life is yours. It doesn't mean he's going to get you out of the problems. So again, we're talking about a sacrifice of praise. Verse 19, many. Now don't tell all these health, wealth, and prosperity preachers this verse. It might destroy their million-dollar ministries. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Sorry, salvation doesn't get you out of that. But the Bible says, the Lord, amen, delivereth him out of them all.
Amen.
Sooner or later, hey, I'm going to heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Sooner or later, I'm going to heaven. So why not praise the Lord now?
Amen.
You see what I mean? Why not praise the Lord now? Sooner or later, the Lord's going to deliver me anyway. There's no, either that or God's a flat-out, bold-faced liar.
Yeah.
And if these verses aren't true, forget it. We might as well quit and go home. But these verses are point blank. These verses are very, very easy to understand. I don't need a college education. I don't need a scholarly degree or another version. It's right here in the Bible, amen. Very easy to understand.
That's right, amen.
He's ready. He's nigh. He's waiting. We have every reason in the world to praise him.
Amen.
But see, it's a sacrifice.
Right.
And It's a sacrifice. This is a picture of Iglesia Bautista Betel. Amen. This is in a little town in Paraguay called, ready? Bujapeu. Go ahead. Repeat it after me. It's not Spanish. It's Guarani. It's a native Indian language there. But right back here is a white face. Amen. A little white face. That's my dad. This is the people of that church. Now, this building here is just a little bitty building with wood benches inside. And I don't think, if I remember correctly, it had maybe one little bathroom or hole in the back wall. It made our storefront look good. If you remember, yeah, it made our storefront look fancy, amen. And if you get a look at these people here, these are Paraguayans, and they're very well dressed, thankfully, amen. But they live in dirt shacks and, you know, dirt huts, and a lot like, you know, a lot of Mexico is the same way. But you see, this is what a missionary does. This is what missions is all about.
Right.
This is a man. By the way, you couldn't get to this town any other way unless you drove for like 3 days and dirt roads and potholes, except through the airplane that my dad flew. So going back to the message here, what I'm saying is, it was not a sacrifice for those people to go sit in that building. But we as Americans... We've kind of like Israel, we've forgotten God. I have some, obviously a lot of my dad's stuff I brought back with me from his library and study, and one of the things he wrote down on a piece of paper, I have it at home. It says faith. Faith is where failure is guaranteed unless God intervenes. What are we doing as Americans, as Christians, that where failure is guaranteed if God doesn't intervene? I mean, we just really don't live by faith. Faith is a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice to those people to live like that and to go to church like that. That's a blessing for them. But you see, perspective is important. We as Americans, we forget about, hey, living for the Lord, it's supposed to be a sacrifice. Because he anything that we do for the Lord is going to require us, again, going back to all the other messages, carrying our cross. Being committed to the Lord, offering a sacrifice of praise, even when I'm buried in troubles, many afflictions. But see, I just want you to remember, we don't always need to look for a way out.
Right.
That's what we're always looking for, a way out. I'm guilty and you're guilty.
Yeah.
We're always looking for a way out.
Sure.
And God's just looking for a word of praise.
Amen.
Instead of looking for a way out, maybe we just need to look up and look for God and say, thank you, Lord. I don't know what you're doing here, but I'm going to praise you anyway. We're all guilty of that. Because usually we can just go buy something or change something and fix our problems our way and move on. And really, it wouldn't matter if God was alive or dead. We just keep on living the way we're living.
Yeah.
But see, God says, listen, we should, by Christ or through Christ, we should always have continual praise in our hearts. And even, and it says there, and look again, Hebrews 13, verse 15, it says, the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. It's not just going to be in our heart if it's right, if it's what it's supposed to be. It's always going to come out. There's going to be salvation is the first step. Obviously, then it's going to be a sacrifice many times. But singing, listen to me, singing ought to be something that we just do and look forward to doing.
Amen.
The fruit of our lips.
Amen.
A Christian, I wrote this down. A Christian with continual praise on his lips is a Christian with a song in his heart.
Amen.
That's what we just read over there in Psalm 40. and vice versa. A song in your heart is going to come out of your lips. Can I tell you this to you? Can I say this to you tonight? A Christian, however, on the flip side, with no praise on his lips, has a deeper problem.
Yeah.
And we're all guilty.
Right.
We all fall short.
Yes, sir.
But see, imagine a church. And you know, the choir, when the choir gets up here and sings, amen, you folks sing out, I've heard some church choirs that are three times that size, and you can't hear them singing.
Right.
And you don't have microphones. They have microphones, and you can't hear them singing. And somebody said something the other day, you know, sometimes it seems like on Sunday mornings, you know, there's more people in the choir than there are. We're not singing to these people.
Right.
You're not singing to these people.
Right.
You're singing to bless and honor the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That, because there's something in your heart that's thankful for who God is and what God's done for you. And bless the Lord, oh my soul, and with all that is within me, bless His holy name.
Amen.
And that's what I'm talking about. But you know, that choir is an example of a heart that realizes, hey, we may not have the fanciest or the biggest or the best. We do have the best God and the biggest God. And God has done the great things in our hearts and our lives. And we have a lot to be thankful for. Singing, look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. And I'm almost done. Ephesians 5 verse 19. The Bible says we should speak to ourselves. Well, be not drunk with wine in verse 18, word in excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
And when you're filled with the Spirit, when you be speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that just means you'll be singing to yourself.
Amen.
You know how many times, man, I hate to do this, but I'm going to do it. I'm the pastor, yes, and I'm the father, yes, but I'm still a sinner. I hate to admit that, but I am. Sometimes I hear that boy back there. We're working together. He's just walking around the house, and I'm thinking about, you know, okay, we got to get ready for this. I got to pay this bill. We got this coming up at church. We got to do this. I got to do this. And I just hear him walking through the house, singing a song that I haven't heard in years. Well, I know the song, but he's singing the song. And that song gets in my heart and gets in my mind, and I think, dear God, what am I doing? What am I worried about?
Amen.
My son's walking around the house singing. He's not singing rock and roll. He's singing Rock of Ages.
Amen.
And I mean, my daughter too, my wife, I'm just saying, that's what I'm talking about though. You know, we that's what that Bible, speaking to yourselves, just singing a song to yourself.
Yeah.
Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making, look what it says, singing and making melody where?
Yeah.
In your heart.
Yeah.
But that's always going to come out of your lips.
Yeah.
It's going to come out of your lips.
Amen.
Or it's not.
Yeah.
Because it's not there. Look what it says. Look what happens when that starts, when it's in my heart, and I'm speaking to myself, singing, humming, whistling. Look what happens. Look what's going to be the result in verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things.
Amen.
Folks, it is not. It's no mistake. God says, listen, there's a real power in His Holy Spirit. There's a real power. Again, this comes through being filled with the Spirit, which, amen, it only comes through Christ. But it's a sacrifice. We have to die to our flesh and be filled with the Spirit. And then there's a different Spirit in us. It's the Holy Spirit, amen. And it produces a song in our hearts. And we have thanks on our lips. And even though it's a sacrifice, even though we don't really have a whole lot of worthy things that we would call worthy of rejoicing, we still have a Heavenly Father. We still have a salvation. We still have eternal security. We still have God's grace and strength and mercy and compassion. Amen. Well, we have a lot to be thankful for.
Amen.
I've been to that church. I know what that church looks like. It's a dirt floor. It's a dirt floor. But those people weren't in there complaining about the dirt floor. They weren't in there complaining about the hard wooden benches. Mm-mm. My dad would fly over that town, and what he would do is he would fly over the town low, come down and fly around two or three passes before he landed. Why? Just to let them know, hey, the preacher's here.
Amen.
We're having church.
Amen.
Because, you know, he couldn't always get there faithfully, regularly, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, because of weather and all kinds. But when he got there, amen, he would fly around, and they would just start slowly coming out of the houses, and they knew where to go to church.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, folks, we're that's not... We should be more like that.
Right.
We have a ton of things to be thankful for.
Amen.
But we have a ton, we have millions of reasons to just sing in our hearts all the time and thank God for everything, who He is. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on. God has not changed.
Amen.
That's the same God that they were worshiping and serving. Same God that my dad, the same Jesus died for them.
Amen.
But boy, we don't do it.
Oh.
We don't do it. Look in Acts chapter 16. I'm done, I promise. Acts 16. Verse 16. 16:16. Came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And she, this did she many days, and she was mocking them. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. Let's stop right there for a minute. It sounds like, let me just follow the Holy Spirit here. It sounds like she's preaching the gospel. These men are the servants of the Most High God. They've shown us the way of salvation. But what was different about it? It was her spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
She was mocking them. It was an evil, unclean spirit. That spirit was saying the truth, but with an unclean spirit. Let me just stop right there and say, listen, we know the truth. As gospel witnesses, as preachers of the gospel, soul winners, we know the truth. But you know what? Our spirit's got to be right. Our spirit's got to be right. Or it grieves the Holy Spirit. We can say the same thing with the wrong spirit, and it's grieving the Holy Spirit. And that may be why people aren't getting saved. Verse 19. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas. They drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." They're calling good evil. "They teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together, just because of a few people, a few words. The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid, what should I say, many stripes, not on their clothes, but on their bare backs, many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, the deepest, darkest hole he could find, and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, they're still bleeding.
Yeah.
At midnight. Why midnight? I don't know. Maybe Paul had an internal alarm clock. But at midnight, Paul and Silas, notice what they did first. They prayed. I don't know how long they prayed, but I don't think it was, "Lord, thank you for this prison. Lord, thank you for loving us." I think they really prayed.
Yeah.
Maybe they prayed, "Dearly beloved," again, I can't prove it. Maybe they prayed because they weren't enjoying where they were at. Maybe they prayed because they realized this is not what I would have wanted to happen. Maybe they prayed because they were hurting, bleeding all over themselves. And, you know, when the blood starts to coagulate and their feet are in stocks, so they're leaning up against something, they're laying flat, so they're starting to stick to the wall, stick to that miry clay that we talked about. And so they can't, I mean, what a terrible night. Their first response was probably not rejoicing. But since they were saved and they were in God's will, they realized this is not, we can't respond like this. Maybe it took them till midnight to realize. They looked at each other. Paul looked at Silas, and Silas looked at Paul, and he said, "We can't respond like this." Now, I know everybody likes to talk about how much of a hero they both are, but understand something.
Yeah.
They're sinners, and they were hurting.
And they
were doing nothing but serving the Lord. So I believe they stopped and prayed, because their heart was not full of thanksgiving. But they got alone with God right there in that prison cell. And the Bible says they sang praises. They sang praises. Now you know the story. They sang praises unto God. They didn't sing praises because of the jail, prison cell, or the blood, or the pain. They just praised God. That's what we're talking about tonight. They just praised God. The prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. The foundations were shaken. All the doors were open. Everyone's bands were loose. I believe every one of those prisoners got saved.
Amen.
It wasn't because the situation was exciting. It wasn't because things were... It was because they knew they were saved. And it was a sacrifice. And listen, you don't give offerings unless your heart's right. Not with the right heart. And then it produced singing. It produced real praise. Amen. Unto God.
Amen.
Hey, think about this. They did not know what was going to happen.
That's right.
They didn't know there was going to come an earthquake. And they were just singing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We know the end of every story. But what we forget is when those people are in that story, they didn't know what the end was.
Right.
They just sang praises unto God, whether He let them go or whether they rotted in that prison.
Yeah.
I mean, for all they knew, they were going to die there.
Right.
I mean, they were going to bleed to death.
Right.
When we live like we're supposed to, which they were. Remember, I go back to what I say earlier, requirements and results. Christian love, comforting strangers, compassion, clean and pure living, contentment, confidence, commitment, consistency, consecration. They were doing this, that was their life.
Yeah.
And an outpouring, a result of that, amen, was praise to God as a sacrifice from a heart of thanksgiving, regardless of the situation.
Amen.
I think we have a good church. But I know myself, this is a great weakness for Americans. And sometimes, I don't have time to go over there, but sometimes God sends things like that to get us to where we will stop and praise Him.
Yeah, Lord. That's right. Yes, sir.
Wonder how long they would have stayed there if they would have just stayed there. You ever think about that? Wonder how long they would have stayed there if they would have just sat there and sulked. They didn't pray right away. They prayed at midnight. God was probably working right here and saying, "Why aren't you praising me? Don't you remember that scripture?" The Holy Spirit was saying, "Hey, why aren't you thanking me?"
Thank you, Lord.
He was saying, "Hey, Paul, I can't use you to write that stuff over there if you don't do it now."
Yeah.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, Lord, help us tonight. We thank You for Your goodness.